So I really enjoyed myself yesterday. I tell people all the time, I have a ball whether y'all do or not. So it's good to get a little feedback. I've had some of you tell me that y'all enjoyed it too, so that makes me feel pretty good. I appreciate that. I'm glad God is using something to impact you. And I want to continue tonight on the same theme of rejection. We really established yesterday a couple of things. We established the mindset, if you will, of rejection. We talked about, the four characteristics, a sense of being unwanted, the agony of desperately wanting people to love you but being convinced that they don't, an inability to believe or receive acceptance or love when it is given to you, and then finally a desire to be a part of something but never feeling like you are. And that's the characteristic of self-pity, of rejection. Self-pity is part of that, of rejection. And we also talked about the withdrawal, those defense mechanisms that rejection plays in our life. It wants us to withdraw. It wants us to pull back and not pursue relationship. If that doesn't work, sometimes we explode with rage and anger. That's another defense mechanism to keep people at a distance. If I'm a bull in a china shop, you're going to have a hard time getting too close to me. And then the third one that we mentioned was this whole concept of trying to establish an identity. And I didn't spend a lot of time there, so briefly, that can be fabricated personalities, or I can just pretend to be something. I can make myself be whatever it is I need to be in the situation so you're like me. But there's a lot of different ways that we seek for an identity. And can I say this to you guys? Your identity is not in what you do. Amen? We all do all kind of things, and thank God for the things we do, but that's not your identity. And many people do search for an identity in the things that they do. And that's another defense mechanism of rejection. If I can do something well enough, then I feel better about myself. If I can excel. So we often find things like, performance and drivenness to really move ahead and excel and succeed in life. A lot of that's driven by rejection because I need to be something in order to feel good about myself. So there's just some of the things I talked about yesterday. I want to pick back up and just briefly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but just briefly run through some indicators of rejection, what rejection looks like in life. And this is important. And I think most of you were here when I taught originally the restored teachings, but I want to reemphasize the importance of this component of separation. The things that we're talking about, what I'm really trying to do is identify for you a mindset that is from your enemy that's not yours. Does that make sense? We've got to begin to separate. When these thoughts and these feelings come at us, it literally is a spirit of rejection that's influencing us. It's not from heaven, and it's not how God created us to be. It's something that's joined us that we need to identify. Would you agree with me? I can't remove something from me until I recognize that it's not me. So, guys, this whole rejection mindset really needs to come to a place of separation where you can begin to understand, as we talked about yesterday, you are not rejected. You are loved. You are accepted. You belong. God wants you. That's the truth. So the mindset of rejection that wants to tell you these things we're going to look at, you've got to start separating yourself and thinking, wait a minute, who told me? All right? Y'all remember that question. Who told you all of these things we're about to look at? So let's just briefly run through this list. Rebellion in both children and adults can be an indicator of rejection. When I'm rejected, sometimes rebellion shows up. Again, fabricated personalities, being somebody you aren't in order to be accepted. The tendency to reject others so you aren't the first one to be rejected. How about that? You ever seen that play in your life? You come in a situation and you go ahead and reject somebody else so that you're not the one being rejected. A tendency to always wonder if a person rejects or accepts you. You ever have a tendency just to always wonder, do I really fit in? Am I really accepted? Do people really care? Do they really, really believe in me? Do they really trust me? You just have that sense. Those thoughts, those feelings, guys, that's not you. That's not how God created you to think. That's not coming from heaven. That is a spirit of rejection wearing you out. Does that make sense? You with me? Anybody? Somebody, please be with me. All right? The need to fit in or be accepted by others and be a part of everything. I have to fit in. I have to be a part. You ever been, this ain't never happened, I know here, okay? But you walk outside the church, there's a big group gathered up and they all fixing to go out to eat and you didn't get invited. How you feel? Wait a minute, what's wrong with me?
Why didn't they invite me? I mean, they all going to go have fun. Well, I'm going to go home and eat, you know, Spam or something. Well, I'm not a part. How come I'm not a part? You know, well, the fact is you just weren't standing there talking. All you got to do is say, hey, can I go? Sure, you can go. Come on. They're not rejecting you, but a spirit of rejection wants to come in and say, you're not accepted. You don't belong. They want to leave and they want to go without you. That's just the devil talking to you guys. You've got to begin to identify this stuff and say, can I go? Yes, sir. Come on. Amen. All right. We're going to get real tonight. Self-pity, where a person feels bad for themselves for being all alone. Another indicator of rejection, where you have all this self-pity because you're alone. Everybody else got something going on, but I'm just all by myself. Well, you know, a lot of times why we're all by ourselves is because we just stay by ourselves. You know, if a man's going to have friends, he's got to make himself friendly, the Bible says. You know that? You know that's in the Bible? In order to have friends, you got to make yourself friendly. Can I just be honest with you? A spirit of rejection will get you to the point where nobody want to be around you. You can listen to rejection to the point it becomes a part of your personality, and the way you carry yourself and the way you act, people are going to have to just be souped up with love in order to even stand you. And that's rejection at work keeping you out of relationship. You got to make this stuff your enemy and decide, you know what, I'm not going to listen to it anymore. I'm not going to allow rejection to tell me that I am rejected. I'm going to come be a part of what's going on and stop acting so crazy that nobody want to be around you. Nobody amen. All right. All right. Rejection creates an environment where you are starved for love or you just don't fit in. A tendency to blame God. Why did you give me this big nose? Come on now. As a young'un, I used to stand in front of the mirror. I hated my nose. God, why you give me this big old nose? I know everywhere I go, people looking at my nose. Can I tell you, can I just be honest with you? Hey, people don't think near as much about you as you think they do. There ain't nobody thought nothing about my nose till I just said it. Now, every one of you looking at me, right? But that's what rejection does. Every one of you in this room, there's something that the enemy's wearing you out about. People are looking. You know, you see people always checking itself. You know what you're doing when you're doing this? You're just making people look at you. They weren't looking at you before. They weren't concerned about you before, but that spirit of rejection's there telling you everybody's looking and you don't fit in because your shirt tail's showing a little too much pudge around the middle. I know what I'm talking about. A sense of pride that says, how dare they reject me? So when you are rejected, there's that anger. You want to blow up and puff up. Well, who you think you are? You know, you think you all that? You think you something special? Why you want to reject me? You ain't no better than I am. Why you think you better than I am? What is that? Is that God? Is that how God thinks? Is that how God created you to think? That is a spirit of rejection at work in your head. Are you with me? Nobody's with me. Opinionated personality, the need to be right about everything. Don't look at nobody. Your eyes straight forward on me, all right? Opinionated personalities and the need to be right about everything is often rooted deeply in rejection. I just got to be right. Do you know, God, can I be honest with you? You don't know everything. Hey, somebody knows more than you do. I got my oldest son. I love him. He's 10 years old, and I don't even know why I'm in his life. I mean, he don't need me. I don't care what I try to teach him, he already knows it. I mean, it's just crazy. What is it? It's a spirit of rejection is what it is. I've got a son who fights with this. It really helps to know that. Because if I didn't know that, I'd get really ticked at him sometimes. Does that make sense? You're with me? I'm trying to hurry. I really am. Feelings of worthlessness, insecurity, or hopelessness. Seeking others' approval is a sign that you're basing your identity upon what they think of you. This is a big one, guys, in rejection. When I'm looking for the approval of others. If I'm looking for your approval, what does that mean? That means I don't know who I am. And I need you to approve of me in order to feel okay about myself. That's a sure sign rejection is at work. Envy and jealousy, even bitterness, can be rooted in rejection. How about fear of confrontation? Because your identity is based upon what they think of you. I used to have this one big time. As a pastor, it's hard to come up sometimes to people and say what needs to be said. especially when you've got a strong spirit of rejection at work because that fear of confrontation. You're going to say something, you know they're not going to like it, and when they don't like what you have to say, what does that mean? They ain't going to like me. So fear of confrontation is deeply rooted in rejection. Guys, the only way I can ever be honest with you is when I know who I am. And if you don't like what I'm saying, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. Does that make sense? I mean, we need that. Would you agree you need those kind of people in your life? I need people who already know who they are, that aren't looking to me for acceptance and approval, who can speak truth to me. Amen? Come on now, I know. But if we're going to do real relationship, we've got to have people in our life who will be honest with us about what they see that's not from heaven in my life. Amen. I'll amen myself. All right. So those are just some indicators of rejection. I say this, and I could spend a lot of time here, but I really just want to help you see everybody in this room deals with this thing. Rejection is a part of our life at some level. Some people have a personality of rejection. Some people have been so influenced by the mindset of rejection that they just walk around thinking that they are going to be rejected. And guys, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. When you walk around with this mindset that you're going to be rejected, guess what happens to you? You're rejected. It's just the way it is. Has God rejected you? No. And the truth is, people don't necessarily want to reject you, but oftentimes they don't know what to do with you. They try to love you. I talk to people all the time. And I got a guy right now, bless his heart. You know what you say, you know what bless his heart means, right? Bless his heart. I mean, I've done everything I know to do, but he just... And it's all I can do to keep the relationship. I'm not going to let him go because I know what's at work in his life. I'm going to keep pursuing the guy, but he is absolutely doing everything he can to break our relationship. Why? Because the spirit of rejection is eating him alive. Does that make sense? I need people in my life that will pursue me. I thank God for my wife. I told y'all yesterday, she would not. She's going to love me in spite of myself. We need those people who are able to see our true identity and recognize us what manifesting through us is not really who God created us to be. It is an enemy's mindset that's been established. I need to see it for myself so that I can begin to deal with it. We're going to talk about that tonight. I need other people in my life who can see it so they can come help me deal with the things that are in my life that are not from heaven. Amen. So where's this stuff come from? How do we wind up with these mindsets and ways of thinking that I've just described that all of us have to deal with? There's door points in our life, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here either, but I want you to think through some things. Where does rejection come from? Rejection can come from the womb. I've talked with people. There's a lady right now that I'm on the phone with. Her mama did not want another child. Just didn't want it. And all of that pregnancy, the mama was angry and bitter about being pregnant. When the baby was born, nothing really changed. That baby was kind of just stuck to the side. And yes, she was fed. Yeah, the diapers were changed. But there was never really any love, never any nurture, never any real care given to this woman as a child. Does that make sense? So early on, a spirit of rejection came to begin to influence this woman's life because all of her life she was rejected by her mother. Does that make sense? But again, I got to ask you, does God reject her? Is that the way God created her to think? No, she has been deeply influenced by an enemy kingdom, and she needs to be able to understand that and separate herself from that and begin to replace all of that rejection with truth. So the truth is, many of us in this room may have had rejection from the birth, from the womb, from early age. We can inherit rejection. There's families who have the mindset of rejection. There's families who just know they're on the wrong side of the tracks. We are the outcast, we're the black sheep, nobody really like us, nobody really want us. When you're raised in that kind of environment, in that kind of home, that kingdom is there to begin to influence you that is absolutely the truth. Are you with me? Come on, we still having fun? So we got the influence of others, our parents, our family, those around us. We've got peer relationships. You ever been rejected growing up? I mean, school can suck. Can I say suck in church? I just did. School is just a, I can't, I mean, it's crazy. The things our kids have to deal with and put up with. Kids can be so cruel. And rejection is a big part of what happens in our school growing up. How about dating relationships? You ever been rejected in dating relationship? I mean, you're sitting here today as a grown man, grown woman. You married, been happily married for many years. But I guarantee you, there's somebody back there that still kind of stings a little when you think about it. What is that? That's a spirit of rejection that wants to come because of that intimacy that you had and tell you you deserve to be rejected. Does that make sense? So we got to begin to look at the things in our life that have allowed this mindset to come in. How about marriages? We don't like to talk about it, but there's a lot of marriages don't make it. It hurts when you've been married and that marriage ends in divorce. Rejection's right there. You can be rejected on the workplace. I got a good friend of mine, great guy. But at work, he is constantly ridiculed and made fun of. They call him all kind of silly names. And he's just an awesome guy who loves God, but he works in an environment that is completely pagan. And he is the believer, and everybody else isn't. And they just ridicule and make fun of him all the time. What kind of work environment is that? Do you see where that mindset can begin to come in on you if you work in an environment like that? How about your friends? You may have a group of friends, but you may be the one everybody picks on. Everybody makes fun of. Everybody laughs at. You are the joke. Everybody laughs at your expense. Rejection loves those kind of situations. You can be rejected at church. Again, rejection will set you up for rejection. So there's churches, guys, and I know this didn't one of them. This is a good church. But there's churches out there that you've got to absolutely toe a certain line or you're an outcast. I can't tell you the number of people I've talked with that have been hurt deeply in churches. The enemy loves those. It uses those door points to come and begin to give you a mindset and a way of thinking that does not come from heaven. Dysfunctional relationships. Words spoken over you. The way you respond to those words. Abuse. Physical abuse. Verbal abuse. Emotional abuse. Sexual abuse. Performance-based acceptance or love. Manipulation and control, neglect, all of these things and many others are door points. Does that make sense? I mean, this is important because this is how we're going to get rid of this stuff. We first have to really begin to recognize where it came from. How did it get into my life? How did I begin to think this way? That's not what God says. I know it because I gave you the word yesterday. That's not what God says. So how did I begin to think this way, feel this way, speak this way, act this way? Where did it come from? And there may be more than one door point. There usually is. A lot of things that have happened to us in our life, guys, we've got to deal with them. Does that make sense? You with me? Come on now. I wish it was just this simple that I could just say, all right now, in the name of Jesus, all of you, be restored. And it all just goes away. But that ain't the way it happens, is it? There's a deep work of the Holy Spirit that needs to happen in your life. There's a deep work of the love of God that needs to happen in your life. You know what expels rejection and fear? Is love. A deep work of love needs to take place in your heart in those areas where the enemy has found entrance into your life. Through all of these points of entry, rejection is seeking to bring you to a place of agreement with his mindset rather than God's. This is an important point I want you to get right here. Through all of these things that have happened to you in your life, your enemy is seeking for your agreement. He wants you to agree with him in his version of the truth. Our agreement with his lie is what gives him a right to our life. Our agreement with what he has to say rather than what God has to say is what gives him a right to continue to traffic in our lives through rejection and everything else. This agreement gives him authority to continue to train you to think, speak, and act after the nature of rejection. You with me?
So let's talk about removing some of this stuff. Luke 11. If you have your Bible, turn with me here. I want to spend just a few minutes in Luke 11, 21 and 22. This is a very important scripture. This is Jesus talking. I love the whole Bible. But when I see red letters, I pay special attention. Okay? Jesus has to say this in Luke 11, 21, 22. You with me? When you're there, say, I'm there. All right, anybody ain't there, get there. Or just listen up, all right? Luke 11, 21 says this, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divides his spoils. So that's what we want to do this week. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. What does that mean? For the sake of this teaching, let's consider the strong man to be rejection. When rejection is there, and that strong man is armed, he keeps his palace. Who's the palace? Are you the palace? You are. If rejection is working in your life, you've got this mindset, you've got this way of thinking, it didn't come from God, and it's not how God's created you to think, there is something that is present with you. Does that make sense? And it's a strong man that's armed. What is the armor of rejection? Because according to this scripture, that armor needs to be removed for the strong man to be dealt with. So what's the armor that rejection is trusting in to hold itself in place in your life? Many things. Things like bitterness, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is the number one, by the way. If there's anybody in your heart and in your life that has hurt you in the past that you will not forgive, that's a piece of armor that this enemy is hanging on to keep himself in your life. Guys, you're going to have to forgive. I can't say it any plainer than this. If you want to be free, if you want to have this kingdom removed out of your life, you've got to come out of agreement with bitterness and begin to forgive. Forgiveness has to take place. The Bible's very clear. The Bible literally says, if you will not forgive those who've trespassed against you, God will not forgive you. Now, that's a hard scripture, but that's what it says. So one of the pieces of armor, a big piece of armor that rejection is trusting in, is unforgiveness. You've got to forgive. I taught you this last time I was here, but with that bitterness, there's unforgiveness and resentment and retaliation, anger, hatred, violence, murder. All of those are pieces of armor that rejection's hanging on to. Does that make sense? Self-pity is another piece of the armor. You'll never get out of rejection if you continue in self-pity. I taught y'all self-pity last time I was here too. It's out there on the table if you didn't get it. Self-pity is the super glue of hell that binds you to your past. We've all had things happen to us in our life. But guys, if we're ever going to move past that into the future, we got to let go of the past. And we cannot continue to allow self-pity to cause me to have pity for myself because of what is taking place in the past. Are you with me? It's quiet in here now.
Amen.
Amen. Unforgiveness, self-pity, envy and jealousy. It's on the table, listen to it too. Covetousness, fear of failure, fear of man, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment. All these fears that we've already talked about are pieces of armor that rejection's trusting in to hold itself in place. Are you with me? I'm going to fight rejection. I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to walk up in a place that I don't know anybody, and I'm going to make some friends. What's there? Fear of man, right there. What is fear of man? It's a fancy way of saying it, but I'm afraid of what y'all think. I'm afraid of what you think about me. I've got all these already preconceived ideas of who I am. I don't like myself, and I'm just convinced that you agree with me about me. I mean, you see it right through me. I got my mask on. I got my Sunday go to meeting face on, but I just know that you can see through my pretense to what's really going on in my life, and I'm petrified that you're going to see me for who I really am, and you're going to reject me. Does that make sense?
fear of man is one of the pieces of armor you're going to have to deal with. You're going to have to make it your enemy. Again, is this from heaven? Is God giving you thoughts and feelings to be afraid of what people think about you? No. Is this the way God created you to think? You're made in His image. You're made in His likeness. This is not from heaven, guys. It's not you. It is a spirit of rejection, trusting in the armor of fear of man, fear of failure. Anybody in here like me, deal with this one. I mean, as long as I'm hitting it out of the park, you know, I'm doing all right. I mean, you guys tell me I done a good job yesterday, so I can come back. But if I got here and Brother Keith said, man, I had several calls, and they wasn't nobody happy with the way things went yesterday. You're going to really have to up your game up tonight, or I don't know if we're going to continue this week. I mean, if that's what he said to me, what's right there now? Fear of failure. I'm not good enough. I'm blowing it. All these people feel like I'm not really what I need to be. All these people think that I'm not ever, I am a failure. I know I'm a failure. Now they see that I'm a failure. What's that going to cause me to do? Withdraw, blow up in rage and anger, or try to fabricate some kind of personality so maybe y'all will like me. Does this make sense? We've got to make this stuff our enemy. It's armor that rejection is trusting in. Fear of man, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, self-accusation, self-rejection, self-hatred, other pieces of armor. This is stuff, if you've been with me now, I've taught you before, right? We talked on accusation last time I was here. Self-accusation, constantly accusing yourself. You on the inside know you're no good. Self-rejection, self-hatred, guilt, shame, all of our insecurities, addictions, all this mess is armor that rejection is trusting in. Are you with me? So what are we going to do? Well, the scripture says this. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. So as long as these things are present and active in your life, He's got you. He's got you right where He wants you. He is in peace. Are you in peace? No, you're tormented. But He's having a heyday. He's having a ball. That ought to tick you off. I hope there's a righteous indignation that begins to well up in you when you begin to recognize that there's an invisible kingdom at work in your life and it's having fun while you're being tormented. Amen? That is what keeps us in bondage. That's what's keeping us out of our freedom. But here's what the rest of the scripture says. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him. Now who's stronger than this list of armor we just talked about? Are you? Are you? I know I'm messing with you. Are you in your own strength and in your power? You say, all right, dad blame it. All right, I'm going to deal with this mess. I'm tired of the devil having a heyday in my life. Come on, devil. Is that the attitude we need to have? No, sir, because you are not stronger than the enemy, not in your power, not in your strength. The Bible says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But it also says, with me, you can do all things. So who's the stronger than he that comes upon him? God is. And guys, this goes right back to this relationship with God that we've talked about every time since I've been coming here. We've got to have this relationship with God. God is the one who's stronger than the enemy. Jesus Christ is the one who defeated the enemy on the cross. He is the one who has given us the power and the authority. It's in Him, not in me. It's not my strength, it's His. It's not my power, it's His. I've got to have a vital, living faith in my relationship with my Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit at work, or I will never be free from the influence of the kingdom of sin in my life. You ain't going to do it on your own, guys. You've got to know who your Father is. You've got to know who your Savior is. You've got to know that the very power of God that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And that is the power that is stronger than every bit of this mess we've been talking about. That's what you've got to draw on. Peter tells us you've been given the divine power, the divine nature. Everything that you need to defeat the kingdom of sin is in you as a result of your salvation and the Holy Spirit of God. You've got it. Good place for an amen. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divides his spoils. What does this mean? This means that I'm going to have to allow my Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to come and work in my heart and in my life in every area where the enemy has set up shop. Sounds like a lot of work, don't it? It is. It is. I told you the scripture yesterday. When your father and mother forsake you, the Lord will pick you up. Guys, I'm not trying to diminish the reality of what has happened, but I've seen God do some amazing things. I mean, I've heard some just stories that'll curl your hair. But nothing is too big for our God. I'm not going to tell you that it's a cakewalk. I'm not going to tell you that you're just going to pray one prayer and tomorrow everything's going to fall off of you. I mean, it can happen. I believe God can do anything, but I ain't seen it happen yet. But I will tell you that if you will purposefully begin to make all of this your enemy and invite the power of the Holy Spirit through your relationship with Jesus and the Father to begin to go to work in these areas of your life, he will take this armor, strip it away, and divide the spoils of the enemy. You're back in peace, and he's in torment. Thank you. I knew I was going to get one. I was going to wait for one. Are you with me? The armor of rejection consists of and is held in place by the system of lies that we have accepted as truth due to a past experiences of rejection. That's an important sentence. Let me read it to you again. The armor of rejection consists of and is held in place by the system of lies that we have accepted as truth due to the past experiences of rejection. In order to defeat rejection and his armor and remove him from our lives, we must be willing to do the hard work of recognizing, breaking agreement, and replacing his lies with the truth of God, piece by piece. Let me say that again. It's worth repeating. In order to defeat rejection in his armor and remove him from our lives, we must be willing to do the hard work of recognizing, breaking agreement, and replacing his lies with the truth of God, piece by piece. We call it renewing of the mind. You know, by the way, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that you are transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. You know, I love revivals. I do. I love very passionate preaching, and I love it when you just... there's something happens. I mean, you can just feel the presence of God in the room, and it's exhilarating. I love it. But that's not what changes you. That's not what the scripture says. How many people do you know? I know them. They chase after these experiences. These folks I know literally travel all over the country following after, going to this meeting and that meeting and this meeting and that meeting, talking about how awesome the meeting was. The meeting was awesome. But you know what brings transformation to our life? The renewing of our mind. Now, I'm not against going to meetings. I'm not against learning new things. But if all I ever do is gain knowledge without applying it to my life, nothing's going to change, guys. I have to begin the process of identifying, breaking agreement, and replacing the lie of the enemy with the truth of God. This isn't real sexy, but this is how lives are changed. It's hard work. It requires discipline. It requires consistent effort on our part, working with the power of God in our life. But we can replace the lies of the devil with the truth of God's work, and it will produce freedom from rejection and any and everything else. This is how we do it. Now, it is important to begin to realize where and how rejection's gained access to your life and how you think. Absolutely. But I've seen at least two ways that people are unhealthy in how they look at their past. Number one, endless excavating and analysis of the past. That's not what I'm talking about, guys. I ain't talking about, now we got to go sit down and break out a piece of paper and write down everything that's ever happened to you. I'm not talking about trying to dig up all of the past. That's just worthless. And there's people to do it. People pay a lot of big money to go to people to do it and talk about everything that's happened to you. Let's really get aware of everything that's happened to you and work through all of those things. That's not what I'm talking about. Endless excavating, trying to dig up everything, that's not what I'm talking about, all right? I'm going to show you what I'm talking about in just a minute, but that's not it. The second thing that people do in regard to their past is just go into utter and complete denial. And say, well, come on, Brother Mitch, don't talk to me about this. That happened a long time ago. It's over. It's done. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. I'm good. Are you? Your wife don't think you're good. Your husband don't think you're good. Your kids don't think you're good. You're not good. You're in denial. Does that make sense? Come on now. So we're not talking about either of these two spectrums. I'm not talking about just constantly trying to analyze and talk about everything that's going on in my life. And I'm not talking about trying to just deny everything that's going on in my life. Here's what Paul says in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. People use this scripture. When I start talking about this kind of stuff, they'll quote this scripture to me and say, come on now, Paul says, forget about the things that are behind. All right? He does. But you know I'm a word guy. What does forget mean? Literally, when you look it up in the Greek, it means to lose out of mind. To lose it out of your mind. Have you lost it out of your mind? Uh-uh. It's still there. You can deny it. You can suppress it. You can sweep it under the rug, but it's still there. All it takes, you give me 5 minutes. Sit down. If you'll be honest with me, give me 5 minutes. I'll peel your hide back. I'll show you it's still there. I'm good at it. God's gifted me in it. It's still there. And that is what we have to do. We need to learn how to lose it out of our mind. How are we going to lose it out of our mind? Just pretend it didn't happen? No. There's a process. In order to forget, to lose out of our mind, we need to reject the lies of rejection and accept God's word as our only source of truth. That's the only way to deal with it and move past it, is to expose the lie, recognize the lie, look at the lie, identify the lie, and then bring God's word of truth into that area of lie, expose it, and remove it. Amen. Amen. This is hard work, guys, but you got to do it. If you really want to overcome, if you really want to deal with rejection in your life, you're going to have to be gut honest with God and yourself about what you're hearing, feeling, thinking on the inside, and begin to take God's word and go to war with that lie. The Bible says this in Romans 3, 4, let God be true, but every man a liar. I don't care who said it to you. If it doesn't match what God says, it's a lie. I don't care if it was your mama. I don't care if it was your daddy. I don't care how important and significant those people were in your life that rejected you and told you that you were worthy of rejection. You've got to bring the truth of God in. God says you are accepted, you're loved, you're worthy, you belong. That's what God says, and you've got to do the hard work of confronting that lie with the truth of God and allow the work of God to do a deep work of healing in your heart. That's the only way to get past it. Amen. By meditating on the Word of God, we can establish a foundation of truth about God's love and acceptance and our true identity as His children. It will teach us our position and our authority as His children so that we can be restored and begin to walk in the freedom that is our inheritance. There's a three-step process that I want to teach you this week. We must follow in order to remove the armor that holds rejection in place. Number one, that armor must be identified and recognized. You've got to find the lie that you're believing. Does that make sense? This isn't fun, but you've got to get before God. I told you it's not about endless excavating. Here's what I found is absolutely true in this journey. When I begin to come before God and say, all right, This mess is eating my lunch. I need some help. Will you help me, show me, begin to reveal to me where this came, how it got here, where I came into agreement with? Guys, I promise you, when you begin to pursue God in that kind of conversation, something amazing is going to start to happen. You'll have memories. I've seen it over and over and over again in my own life and in others what I work with. You go before God in honesty and say, okay, I need to know this mess is here. It didn't come from you. This is not how you created me to think. How did it gain access to my life? Father, you know, I need to know. And it's amazing. When you're in that place of real relationship and real conversation with God, it's amazing the things that will begin to come back to you. You with me? I've told y'all, I've been here. Some of the major ones in my life. I remember praying that very prayer. And just out of nowhere, here comes this memory. Me and my father working on a combine header. I don't know what I said, but he took that big old ball peen hammer and slung it at me. Hit me right here. The rage and anger in his face. I remembered it. It ain't something I just hang around thinking about. But it popped back up. So what do I need to do? I need to recognize and identify what came at that moment. Does that make sense? I'm looking for what joined me. I'm looking for the mindset and the way of thinking that came to me as a result of what just happened in that memory that God showed me. You with me? Number two, the armor must be decisively dealt with. I'll talk a little bit more about what that means as we move ahead. But I've got to decisively deal with what I have now recognized, that I've now identified. This didn't come from heaven. This is not the way God created me to think, but I came into agreement with a lie here. And I got to deal with it, and I'll show you how. And then number three, that armor must be replaced with God's truth. There's a three-step process. I've got to recognize it. I've got to deal with it, and I've got to replace it with the truth of God. That's the process that will enable you to truly deal with your past once and for all so that you can forget those things, that you can lose it out of your mind. I still have the memory. It's not what Paul's talking about. But when I remember that today, there's no pain associated. When I remember that today, there's no torment associated. I am not affected emotionally by that memory anymore. Amen? God has done a deep work in my heart and in my life. I know who I am. I know who my father says I am, and I believe it, and I accept it. What my father said and what my father did in that moment no longer affects me. Hallelujah. It sure helped me. It'll help you too. So where do we start? We start with the broken heart. Where do you start? Because, guys, we all got a past, man, every one of us. I mean, again, please don't go home tonight and start just excavating every bad thing that's happened to you in your life. Go to God and let Him show you. But let's start with the broken heart. What is a broken heart? Every one of us have one. To be willing to look at and deal with our broken hearts, the first thing Jesus said, you know, the first thing Jesus said when He began His ministry, Luke 4:18-19, this is what He said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the first thing Jesus said. Out of Isaiah, He read this scripture. Heal the brokenhearted. Preaching the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is the fact Jesus Christ came to this world to destroy the works of the devil. He came to this world, He died on that cross to pay for your sin and mine so that we could be set free from sin. That's the gospel. Preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted. Has your heart been healed? I didn't ask you if you're saved. I didn't ask you if you're born again. I hope you are. If you're not, you've got to be. But if you are saved and born again, my question to you is, has your broken heart been healed? Maybe it has. I hope it has. But I'd be willing to bet you there's many in this room is still present. That's where we got to start, guys. Psalm 34:18 says this, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." The Lord is nigh. That means near. That means He's right here. You got a broken heart? Good. It means God's right here with you. That's what the Scripture says. Come on now. Psalm 34:18. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Isaiah 57:15 says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones." You know where you're going to meet God? You really want to meet God? You're going to meet Him in that area of brokenness. That's where He's going to meet. That's where He's going to meet you. He's going to meet you right there in the area of brokenness. Guys, as long as we're avoiding the area of brokenness, we're avoiding God. Because that's where He's going to meet us. Amen. Broken means this: to burst, to break, break down, break off, break in pieces, break up. Contrite means crushed, literally to powder. God is near to those who are of a broken, broke down, broke up, broke to pieces, crushed to powder heart. That's where God wants to meet you. We don't want to talk about that stuff. Sure don't want to do it in front of folks. Who broke your heart? Where was your heart broken? That's where you start. Now, your heart may have been broken more than one time. It may have literally been crushed to powder through event after event after event. But God is near to those who are of a broken and a contrite heart and spirit. Are you with me, guys? I know this isn't comfortable. I'm not after comfortable. I'm after healing. Anybody else have a daddy like mine? We're working on the fence and you get a splinter in your finger. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, one of those deep ones. And daddy breaks out the old hickory. I've seen him cut hog nuts. I've seen him do everything else with that same knife. Y'all country folks, you know what I'm talking about. And he opens that knife and comes at my finger. Now, how many of y'all like me just stood there in calm and peace? Said, "All right, Daddy, I love you. You're so merciful and tender and gentle. I know you're going to be just as loving and compassionate as you can. Would you please dig out that splinter with that knife?" Anybody else do that? I didn't either. I'd rather my finger rot off than to let my daddy dig in it with that knife. That's exactly what I'm talking about right here, guys. There's a whole lot of us, most of us. Can I go and say all of us? All of us at varying levels have broken hearts. We've been crushed. We've been broken by this world and the people that the enemy has used in it. And the only way to get over it is to bring it to our Father. If I could put that mental image in your mind, I need you to be willing to bring your tender, broken heart before a Father who loves you. Well, there's a problem right here, isn't there? Because my daddy with the old hickory wasn't tender. He wasn't merciful. He wasn't compassionate. He got the splinter out. I have to be willing to identify the areas of my life where I'm believing the lies of the devil. And I've got to be willing to go before my Father in that area of brokenness. And I've got to be willing to talk to Him in honesty about what I really believe and what I really think as a result of what's happened to me in my life.
And I've got to ask Him for His truth. And then I've got to go through the hard work of replacing the lie with His truth. And it's just as uncomfortable, probably more uncomfortable, than letting my daddy dig out a splinter with an old hickory knife. Does that make sense? But guys, that's exactly where we're going to meet our Father. He is in that place. I really do have to hurry. I'm going to get you out by 8. A broken heart is a state of being that is produced over time when someone who could have and should have loved you did not. It's my definition of a broken heart. It's a state of being that's produced over time when someone who could have and should have loved you did not. They rejected you, they abused you, they abandoned you, or something else instead. Now, it's possible as you're sitting in this room, you don't associate with the phrase broken heart, especially us men. Oh, my heart ain't broke, I'm fine. Can I use another phrase? A detached heart. Maybe broken doesn't work for you. It works for the ladies, they all I'm talking about. Let me talk to the men for a minute. A detached heart. What is a detached heart? Some men in particular respond to the lack of love by becoming emotionally detached. Being emotionally detached became a part of my personality as a result of my own brokenness. Emotionally detached. What's that mean? I ain't letting nobody in. Self-dependent, self-reliant. I got this. I can handle this. If anybody's going to dig the splinter out of my finger, it's going to be me. The emotionally detached heart is a broken heart. Does that resonate a little more with you, men? I promise you, there's very few men in this room that don't know what I'm talking about. I would really want to love my wife. I just don't know how. I would really love to let her in. I just really don't know how. And it scares, scares the fire out of me. It is the most uncomfortable thing I can imagine, is to really open my heart and let her, or anybody else for that matter, get close to the broken, contrite places in my heart. Guys, you want to be free from rejection? I wish I could just wave a magic wand and say, rejection be gone. No, we're going to have to do the hard work. Independence, self-reliance, self-sufficiency are often defense mechanisms coming out of brokenness. The result is a detached heart that is bought into the lie that men don't feel, men don't cry, men don't get in touch with their emotions. I just got to tell you guys, you can believe it or not, that's a broken heart. That is a result of brokenness and contriteness in your heart. Y'all having fun? Do you want to continue in this state? That's a serious question right here. Do you want to continue in this state of heart? Broken or detached, however you want to think of it. Do you want to continue living life like this? I got to ask you this question because honestly, depending on how you answer it, is going to depend whether anything changes. Many people I've come across aren't willing to put in the effort that it takes to get freedom. It's too hard. Too uncomfortable. I ain't up for that. I literally had somebody tell me one day, a female, I would rather go to hell than serve a God who would make me fight like that for my freedom. I hope that's not you today. Your Father is near to those who are of a broken and a contrite spirit. All He's doing is asking for you to bring it to Him. Bring Him that broken heart. Bring Him that detached heart. Allow Him access. Surrender. Matthew 22:37-40 says this. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You've heard me say this over and over. The highest priority in the kingdom of God is to be established in love and relationship. Most of our issues arise from the fact that we've not been loved properly. Guys, we're made to be loved and to love. God is love. God is love. Love made us. We are made by God to give and receive love. Why is it so difficult? Because of this kingdom of sin that has established itself in our hearts and in our lives. I'm lumping it all together and calling it a spirit of rejection. The spirit of rejection is what's keeping you out of love relationship with God, love relationship with yourself, and love relationship with others. Our number one purpose as children of God is to reveal the nature of God by receiving and giving love to those we are in relationship with, and we're not doing it. When this doesn't happen, fear and rejection come flooding in. You know why we've got so much fear and rejection? Because our mamas and daddies didn't have love. You know why they didn't have love? Because their mamas and daddies didn't have love. I ain't talking about being saved. Maybe they were. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm talking about a healed, restored, broken heart. Do you know anybody whose heart has really, fully been healed and restored? I don't know many. But I promise you, when I find them, I can latch on to them like white on rice. Those people have something that I want. Those people have an intimacy and a relationship and a connection with God that I desperately need. How about you? My heart's healed a whole lot more than it used to be. I'm still on the journey. Anybody else on the journey with me? I'm not there. Paul said, I have not apprehended. I hadn't got there yet, but I'm still on the journey. And I promise you guys, it's a whole lot better if I will continue to bring my brokenness, my detached heart before my Father and let Him meet me there. I got a lot more to talk about this week. But I want you to tonight be willing. Would you accept the call to lay your broken, contrite heart before your Father? That's all I'm asking you to do right now. I got a lot more to teach you. And I'm going to talk about what that looks like. I'm going to talk about who your Father is and what He'll do for you. But what you need to answer tonight is this question. Are you willing? Do you really want to continue in the state that your heart is in right now? Or do you, will you pursue healing by coming to your Father? I wish it could all happen right here in 1 minute. But guys, what I'm trying to talk to you about, what I'm trying to teach you, what I'm trying to show you is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in your life, whereby we replace the lies of the enemy with the truth of God through the process of the renewing of our mind. I'm going to teach you and talk to you about that as we move ahead. But the first thing you've got to be willing to do is to bring that broken heart to your daddy. Are you with me? He's here. He's near. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are here. Your word tells us very clearly that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. God, I thank you for sending Jesus to this planet. Father, Jesus, I thank you that you told us your job, you came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Father, I ask you tonight to open the eyes of our understanding, open our ears to hear, Father, your call. God, I know with everything that I am that you are calling to your boys and your girls tonight. You're inviting us, Father, to bring our brokenness and lay it at your feet. You're inviting us to come before you in humility and surrender and submit our hearts and our lives. It starts with salvation, yes. We must be born again. But Father, even out of that, Jesus came. I came to show you the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. It's the only way, Father. So God, if there's any in this room tonight who do not know you, any in this room tonight who've never trusted Jesus as their Savior, guys, that's the first step. But those who have, we must bring our broken, contrite hearts before our Father. Would you be willing to do that? And that can mean coming to an altar tonight, if that's where you are. That can mean going home and being honest with God upon your bed tonight. That can mean a lot of different things, but I'm inviting you to begin an honest conversation with your Heavenly Father about the areas of brokenness in your heart and in your life. Who broke your heart? Let's start there. In Jesus' name.
With us, page 505. If you need to come and pray, somebody will come and pray with you.